introduction to just let you know who's giving the lecture this morning. My name is Jason Darden. I live in Mission Viejo, California, which is about an hour, well, right now during traffic, probably about 3 hours from here, right? So about an hour and a half from here south, in between really L.A. and San Diego. Many of you are probably from California, so you know right where we are. So I left my house this morning at 4:30 and didn't get up here until about 7. So that's how rough it is, driving on the 405 and 5. But anyway, I'm down in Mission Viejo. I am a preacher of the gospel, and I think I'm probably third generation, right, Grandpa, of preachers in our family. My grandfather's here. He comes to every lecture every year to come out and support his grandson. So I'm happy Grandpa's here today. With Bubby from Savannah, Georgia, so he's here, and Eleanor, Brother Pemberton, and I see many, many faces, family, friends, and so thank you for being here again. But we live in Mission Viejo. I am in the Army. I'm an Army chaplain, and I've been in the Army now for 18 years. I am going to be a major here in a couple of weeks, which is really, really exciting. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I've been enjoying that. So I get to preach to soldiers as well, which is really my passion and something that I enjoy doing. I have the most beautiful, I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the entire world. Eleanor is here. So let me tell you a story real quick about why my wife is a Christian today. Eleanor, if I remember the story correctly, was a part of Sojourners.
Yes, we were, but before that, my husband taught at a congregation in New England.
In New England. So my wife is from New Hampshire, and she grew up Catholic, right? And I don't know how it happened, but my mother-in-law stumbled upon Eleanor and your husband at the time, and they had a heart for outreach and evangelism, and they would come over to my wife's parents' house, my in-law's house, every so often. Every Thursday night, right? And eventually, my mother-in-law was baptized in Christ. My father-in-law was stubborn, and he didn't change his faith for a while, right? And eventually, he was immersed into Christ through Eleanor and her husband, and that's what led my wife to be baptized. And then she went to Harding University, and I met her in freshman Bible class and Rich Little's class, if you know who that is. So that's our story. Let me show a picture real quick of my family, because I got to brag on them, because this is great. This is my wife, Mary, over here. She is a nurse practitioner and a professor at Vanguard University, so I really married up. This is my oldest daughter, Alayla. She's 13 now, so all of a sudden she has an opinion. I don't know where that came from. And then this is my youngest daughter, Isabella, and both of them are A students, and they're amazing basketball players, and I don't know where they get their hype from. I have no idea. Right? So that's my family, so I'm truly a blessed man, and I wish they could be here this morning, but they're at work and school. So anyway, live your calling. Live your calling is what we're going to be talking about today. So the story goes that an intern in an office dialed his boss's number by mistake and said, "Hey, send me a cup of coffee to my office in 2 minutes." And the boss shouted, "Do you know who you're talking to?" The intern said, "No." The boss said, "I'm the boss of this office." And the intern said, "Well, do you know who you're talking to?" And the boss said, "No." And the intern said, "Thank the Lord." And he hung up. You know, you never know who you're talking to, right? You never know who you're talking to, especially at events like this, where I know I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Many of you have probably served in ministry for years. You are currently serving in ministry. Many elders and preachers and elders' wives and preachers' wives and ministry leaders are in this place. So just bear with me. You could probably teach this class and have me sit down and learn. So I'm just going to reflect some of the things that I kind of think about, and I've discovered over the years when it comes to calling. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So if you notice the picture, go to the first slide again. If you notice this picture, you can kind of know where we're going, right? the tale of a what? So what Bible story comes to mind when you think of this?
Jonah.
There you go, Jonah, right? And we know the story of Jonah. So that's where I want to start. So if you go to that first scripture, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before the Lord. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So we all know the story. We remember the story growing up as kids. We used to read this Bible story and dissect it. We used to exegete this text when we were young, right? Trying to figure out why Jonah would do something like this. And the story is so amazing, right? God tells him to do something. He doesn't want to do it. He goes onto a ship, and then he's swallowed by a great whale. And my daughter say, Dad, the Bible doesn't say whale. It says fish, right? So anyway, and we start talking about all the different reasons why he might do something like this. So I want to start with this story. And you guys feel free to jump in. This is kind of a dialogue, and I'd love to hear your feedback. I'll be calling out a few people here from time to time as the class progresses. So feel free to jump in and just share what's on your heart, because I think we can all learn together. So do you know, I want to go to this map. Go to this next map. As I was doing my studies, you read this story, and it's kind of like, okay, he got on a boat, and he was going to go just a little ways away to just get away from the Lord. But if you look at this map, it's really interesting, right? Because Jonah was up in this area, and God called him, physically spoke to him, right? And he said, go down to Joppa, and then I want you to go to Nineveh, right? And Nineveh typically was about 550 miles away. So if you're from California, it would be north of the Bay Area if you left from L.A. Or maybe San Diego to San Francisco, right? So you can drive that without traffic in about probably 8 hours or so. So it's a long trip, but it is one that is doable, right? Instead, Jonah goes to Joppa, and he decides to travel across the world, if you will. This was considered the end of the world in their area, in their understanding, right? So just to give you perspective, probably about 2,500 miles away. Now, I don't know how many of you drove out this way from different parts of the country, and I don't know how far that is. I don't know how far it is from California to New York. Is it over 3,000 miles or close to? Yeah, so just think that distance. And typically, if you get on a flight, that's an expensive flight, right? To fly from here to California. I don't know if Jonah was balling or not, or if he had money, but he decided to pay the fare and to get on a ship going all the way across the country to get away from the call of God. Wow. So that gives us a little bit of perspective now as we think about this this calling, this story, this situation. So I'm going to pose a couple questions, and feel free to jump in and offer your feedback. I know many of you are Bible scholars, so try not to get to the specific answer until the end, okay? So I want to hear some reasons of why Jonah ran from God. What were his reasons? Any feedback, any thoughts?
He didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Well, what? Yes, that's correct.
There you go.
So fear might have been one, right? He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was afraid. Anything else?
Enemies,
okay. Trust issues. What else?
He hated the Ninevites.
He hated
them. They were against God's people.
That's right. They were enemies. Anything else, thinking outside of the biblical narrative, that you might add to this that would prevent somebody from going over there?
They weren't Jewish.
Oh, there you go. At the same time, right? Culturally different.
Uh-oh. Maybe he didn't want to commit.
He didn't want to commit, right?
He was insecure as to what his ability.
There you go. That's a great one. Very, very good. Very good. Anything else? I know your hearts are churning.
A lot of times, if you have talent, God gave me that talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people with a natural talent don't wanna go, don't wanna do the town.
Ooh, right.
I was in school with a doctor. I said, why are you going to administrative school if you have an MD? She said, because I only went to medical school because my parents made me go, but I don't feel like being a doctor. So there are a lot of people who are preachers who don't feel like preaching. And they're good preachers.
Right, right. Thank you.
They wanna do something else.
Right, right. Thank you, Grandpa. Yes, I can't quit this now. So let's go to this next slide, right? And I think we hit on everything that would cause him to run. Number one, the task was too difficult, right? To go over there, he looked at this mountain of a task. You want me to go where and do what to these people who are pagans, who do not know God, who do not love God? They are sinners. And you want me to go over there and do what? You want me to preach the gospel to these people? That's a very difficult task. Have you ever felt that way before? Looking at this mountain of a task and you're going, that's just way too difficult. I'm not going to get involved in that because that's too difficult, right? Second thing, he didn't like the people, and we addressed that. The task involved people he disliked, right? Have you ever had, well, we'll get there in a moment, right? People he disliked. And oftentimes when we're called to something, it's to a people group that we might not necessarily like to be around, right? So that's something to consider as well. The task demanded facing fear, right? So he had to come face to face with whatever his fears were, and he had to deal with them. And then lastly, and I think this piggybacks off of what you said, the task required a miracle from God. Because how is this one man going to go over there and tell the whole area to repent and turn to God? That just doesn't happen. So it requires a miracle for something like that to happen, right? He couldn't rely on his own strength, right? And sometimes when you can't rely on your own strength, it makes you question if you should be in this position or situation or encountering this or not, right? So, all right. So, I want to get to some specifics now, and I want to define calling, okay, just to set the context and the stage, and then we'll get to the meat of the material. I just like the story of Jonah, so I wanted to open up with that. So, next slide. So what is a calling? A calling is a strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. Right? I really like that definition. I was looking all over the place for a definition that just really resonated with me, and this is one that really stuck with me for some reason. I really, really like that definition, probably because of the strong inner impulse, right? Accompanied by divine influence. So if you're taking notes, here you go. The way I preach usually on Sunday mornings is I have note pages and I ask you to write down notes and then I give you a homework assignment. So we're going to do a little bit of that today, okay? So there are two types of calls that we need to flesh out, first of all, because this term calling is thrown out all over the place, right? And calling can be very, very subjective. I was at Barnes & Noble not too long ago, and I was looking for a new Bible. And a lady came up to me, and she said, excuse me, God just told me to tell you that you needed to get the New American Standard Version. I said, really? I said, that's funny because God told me not to do that. So you see how calling can be subjective, right? Where does it originate? How do we flesh this out and figure this out, right? So we have to be very careful when we start talking about calling. So I want to make it clear. There are two types of calling. The first one is a general call, right? And the general call is God has called everyone to become a follower of Christ. So if you're a follower of Christ, you have been called. So everybody in this room this morning is a called person, right? And we know the scripture very, very well. God wants everybody to repent, right? God wants everybody to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So we have that general call on our lives to be followers of Jesus. That's not what we're here for this morning, right? I know. We want to get to the specific call, the nitty-gritties, and that specific call is a call to a particular vocation, okay? I want you to write this down, and we're gonna get to it real quick. Your job is not your calling.
some of you may agree or disagree, but we're going to get there. Your job is not your calling, right? And I'm going to explain that in a moment. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Bubby to do something. So Bubby's from Savannah, and we're buddies from back, way back, like 2 years ago. So, So my grandfather is a elder at the Parkway Church, and Linda is here. Are you you're still at Parkway?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and Bubby is the youth minister there, and I saw him walking down the stairs, and we kind of bumped into each other. I said, Bubby, what do you think about speaking tomorrow in my class? He said, no. But he faced his fear. He felt called. And what I wanted Bubby to do, and I'm going to ask him a question. I just want to hear. He doesn't know this question, and I haven't talked to him about it, so it's just going to be really interesting to hear his perspective. So, Bubby, can you tell us how you were called to do youth ministry?
I probably should have known that this would be the type of question. I guess if I were to pick a moment or an event that really caused me to really consider ministry, when I was like 12 years old, 13 years old, the Otis Bowman, the preacher I grew up with at my home congregation, he told me I could be a minister, and it really stood out to me at that age because I had imagined ministers as like these saints and these great men, you know, like that could do just incredible things. And to be like a 13-year-old and be like, wait, I could actually do that. Like, that's crazy. And so anyway, he like encouraged me to preach some. He encouraged me to teach classes. He like gave me opportunities to step into the pulpit even at that age. And so really, I feel like my calling comes from just knowing that I have not the ability, but the opportunity. The opportunity to actually do something to make a difference, mm-hmm. to preach the gospel, to teach or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah,
very good.
I guess that would be my one event.
Very good. Can you identify with that? Maybe here this morning. I'm going to tell you why I'm a preacher. The reason I'm a preacher is because my grandpa said I can be a preacher. Right. I remember I was baptized by grandpa when I was 9 years old. He was preaching a sermon. And I think we were in Kentucky at the time. My dad was stationed there. He was preaching. And on Sunday night, I just walked up to the front, 9 years old. He said, you know, if anybody wants to be baptized, I said, me, to the front. He said, to the front. I said, Grandpa, I need to be baptized today, right? And I remember Grandpa and my parents were like, well, he's kind of young, but we think he can do it. Let's put a task before him. Let's send him to the elders of the church. And if the elders say it's okay, then, you know, let's go ahead and do it. So I remember sitting before a board of elders at 9. See, I was preparing to become a preacher even back then, right? Yeah. And they were firing away all kind of questions. And we were having, you know, hermeneutical, exegetical, expository type, you know, and I passed the test, right? So at 9 years old, I was baptized. And I remember Grandpa saying, you could be a preacher one day. You can do it. So same kind of deal, right? So encouragement is key. And I would say encouragement is a calling, right? So just keep that in your Rolodex, okay? So we're going to get to more specifics here in a moment. But that's what calling is. Okay, next. How does calling originate? We touched on it a little bit. Bubby touched on it just a tad. But if you can go to that next slide. I want to talk about how calling originates. Calling originates through direct communication, right? And the story we tell about direct communication is God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. That's one of those verses Grandpa taught me to memorize, right? So there was a time where God spoke directly to people, right? And some would even say today that God still speaks directly to them. But if you come from our heritage and our background, we tend to believe that might not necessarily be the case. We hear God through scripture and through other means, but we would say direct communication. The example we have of that is this Damascus Road experience. You guys remember Saul was persecuting the church and he was riding on his high horse. And then the Lord knocked him off his horse and said, you're going to be serving me from now on. So Paul, remember, he was blinded. And you guys remember the story. So he had this amazing moment where God directly spoke to him and said, hey, you're going to be handling
this task. So this direct communication is kind of tough today, right? Because most people who say God spoke to them directly are in San Quentin, or you know what I mean? I don't want to poke too much fun, but I know a lot of people locked up, right, who say, God told me to do this, right? So we have to be careful when it comes to that direct communication call. There may be other experiences, and I don't want to poke too much fun at that, but, you know, that's a tough one, this direct communication. I would say one that is really, really neat that I think all of us can identify with is the Emmaus Road experience. Anybody know the story of the Emmaus Road encounter? Anybody, you want to share what it is briefly? Anybody can share what it is, where it's found? Yes, yes.
Two people walking along the road who are chatting. A third person arrives to join them, perhaps miraculously, and ask them what they're talking about, and they say something like, are you the only person in the world who doesn't know what happened this weekend? And they express their frustration at the situation, and their companion begins to talk about the scriptures, and then eventually they ask him to come in because it's too dark to get out, and when he prays for the food,
right,
they recognize who he is,
yeah,
and then he disappears.
That's right.
And then in that darkness, that it was too dark to go any further, they hike up their skirts and take off.
That's right.
Back to Jerusalem.
That's right. I love the way you explained that story. That was so, so powerful. I want you, if you get a chance this week, to go back and to read Luke chapter 24. Verses 13 through 53, and you'll get to see the story of this Emmaus Road encounter. It's so, so powerful. Bottom line, Jesus had been walking with these people the entire time, and they had no idea. It didn't resonate with them, right? So typically what happens is God reveals to us that we have certain gifts, talents, and abilities, and they've been with us the whole time, and we just don't even realize we've had them, right? And then we have this moment, and we're like, oh, okay, I get it finally, okay? This is the reason why I was like this maybe as a child, and I've developed this way. I've had this within me the entire time, and I didn't get it, right? So many of us were called that way. We have this gradual recognition of our gifts or this Emmaus Road experience. Another way we're called is through passion pursuits. And I want to talk to my grandpa a little bit about this. But before we do, I just got to tell you about passion pursuits. So the story goes that there was this young boy, he might have been 9 years old, and he said in his mind that he wanted to be the best hitter of the baseball the world has ever known, right? He said he wanted to be better than Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, all of the greats. He was going to be the best hitter in the world. In his mind, he already was. So he went and got his baseball bat, went out in the backyard, got a baseball, threw it up in the air, wiggled it around, and took a swing. Completely missed, right? Completely missed. So he was wondering what's going on. So he picked the ball up again, threw it up in the air, this time really, really high to give it more time, took the bat, wound it up, dug his feet into the ground, the ball came down, he swung, missed again, right? And at this point, he's getting pretty, pretty frustrated, right? So he grips the bat, throws the ball up one more time, looks up in the air, focuses, swings, misses again. He drops the bat, and he laughs. And he looks up in the air and he says, okay, God, you've made me the greatest pitcher in the world. That's what this is, right? That's what this is. So he, you know, sometimes when it comes to passion pursuits, we're really passionate about some things, but we might not be called to them, right? All right? So we've got to be mindful of that as well. We're really passionate. I'm really passionate about golf. I can't play golf for the lick, right? I just love it. It's fun. But that's not my calling per se, right? So that's something to be mindful of. But passion pursuits are powerful because I think they help us to kind of figure out what our calling is. So, Grandpa, I wanted to ask you a question. My grandpa is very passionate about mission work. Still to this day, he's doing mission work. So, Grandpa, where did you get your passion about mission work? Where did that come from?
That's on me. That's the only word I can express. You know, the Bible says, do religion. We talk religion, but it's to do it. Pure religion is to visit the fathers and the widows and everything. So that's pure religion. We get lost in the building, the $1 million building, and the $3 million building, and all of this. But the real religion is to be a blessing to somebody. If you be a blessing to somebody, then God will give you that ability to bless somebody. So maybe through three people. That's just the way I feel. So.
Yeah, thank you, Grandpa. So Grandpa was a missionary in Ethiopia for a number of years, and then Grandpa comes back from Ethiopia. He founds a number of nonprofits. He's still working with one now called Save Our Children, where he goes and mentors urban youth who are struggling with a lot of stuff, addictions and poor grades, and maybe don't have parents in the home. And he's still involved with mission work to this day. He took me to Africa 3 times with him. That's my grandpa, right? And those passions are powerful because Linda, that's right. We went to South Africa with us.
Ethiopia.
Oh, okay. So it's important to note what we're passionate about. And then lastly, I would say other people help us to recognize what our gifts are. People can see in you that you're talented at a particular task, and they've probably told you that before. But again, you always have to consider the source with this, because in my mama's eyes, I'm the greatest at everything in the world, right? So sometimes we have to consider the source. Consider the source. If a deaf man tells you you can sing, you probably should be careful, because you might. So you just got to say that jokingly, but you always have to consider the source, because people can pump you up, and you might think you're good at something, and then maybe they're doing that just to be an encouragement because they love you and appreciate you. So I think those are the ways calling originate. Okay, that's how it starts. So let's continue on, and let's get into the main meat, and then I'll be done here because we're running short on time. So go to the next slide, Bobby, if you will. So when it comes to calling, if I can summarize this whole thing, here's the answer to calling and living your calling. I would say there's three things that we have to consider, and this really could be the end of the class, but it won't be. Number one, your calling is to become a Christian. That's clear. Put that check mark down because you got that. Number two, your calling is to love your family and your friends. Period. That's everybody's call. And then lastly, which is really cool, which I think we have some ways to figure out how to do this, our calling is to figure out how to best use our gifts. That's what we're called to do. How do we best use our gifts, right? And that's why I say to you, your job is not your calling. Your calling is the gift. And how you use that gift is what you're called to do, right? Your job should be an avenue or a vehicle for you to be able to use your gifts to bless others. But the job, the career, is not it. My wife is a nurse practitioner. She's a phenomenal nurse practitioner, right? But her calling is not nurse practitioning. Her calling is empathy, right? And she's using that as a vessel to carry out what she's called to do on this earth, right? So we have to be mindful of that, right? Our job is a way to provide for our family and to be able to use our gifts to bless other people, right? So that's what I wanted to go to. So I want to read this text, Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then do it generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, hopefully you'll look at this list and you'll probably try to, if you haven't already, identify with one or two of your gifts. That's what I want you to do. I want you to look at this list and identify with one or two of your gifts, because that will dictate how you carry out this calling principle, right? So whatever your gift is, right? If your gift is leadership, you've got to find a career or a vocation or an opportunity where you can be put in a place where you can lead people. And then you don't say, man, it's my job. No, it's the gift that God gave you and how you're choosing to use it. That's what's exciting about this whole thing, right? So that's what I want you to be mindful of when it comes to living your calling. You got to know what your gifts are, and then you got to use them to the best of your ability in the vocation or career or situation that you find yourself in, right? So that's what we've got to be mindful of. So as we get ready to close, I always like to give you something to think about, right? So if you can go to this next slide, here's the question when it comes to calling that I want to close with. Because you're here for some reason. Either support for me, or you're really wrestling with this, or you need to refresh your course. So here's the question. You're already called. You already have the gifts and talents and abilities that you have. They're already at your disposal. Hopefully you know what they are. If you don't, you've got to do some spiritual gifts assessments and things of that nature to figure out what they are. But hopefully everyone in here already knows their call and has that gift, talent, and ability, and you know what it is, right? The question that I have for you is, why are you running from using it? Right? That's really, and to go back to the first slide, we looked at this. Is the task too difficult? Right? You have this talent and this gift and this ability, and you're frustrated right now, maybe. Maybe because you're looking at this opportunity, this situation, you're saying, man, this is just too difficult. Right? Or maybe it's because it involves people you dislike. Maybe you don't want to go over there and be with those people, right? Maybe you don't want to be with those people at that job, right? I just don't like those people, right? Or are you running because you have to face a fear in order to really use your gifts, right? Does it require a miracle? And here's the statement. Then it's probably your calling. If you feel all of these things when it comes to a decision or opportunity or career change, if you feel all of these things, then that's probably what you're supposed to be doing, right? Because a lot of times when you talk about calling, it's like, oh, I'm just so passionate about this. I love every aspect of it. Sometimes that's not the case, right? Look at Jonah. Jonah did not want to go over there. Just think about all the different callings in the Bible. When were people so excited to go do something that God asked them to do? God said, what to Moses? You go over there and do that. Moses said, ooh, I don't know about that, right? But in our mind, calling is like, yes, let's go, Lord. I'm going to Egypt right now. That's not really the case, right? All right? So I just want us to be mindful of that. If you feel those things, that might be it. Maybe that's where God wants you. Because ultimately, he just wants to sharpen your skill set, your talents, gifts, and abilities, and grow your faith, right? So I've got a couple of things that I want you to do, okay, as we close. Is there another slide? Okay, yeah. This is what I like closing with this because I know this is what you're thinking, right? No, just great lecture. Now what, right? As a soldier in the Army, I always like to give a practical application, or we call it a PE, practical exercise, as you depart. Something that you can take with you, because a lot of times we listen to messages and we go, oh, that was really good, that was inspiring, or yay, and then I want you to be able to apply something right now, because I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through, what you're thinking, or where you are in this season of your life. So I want to give you some things that have helped me discern certain aspects of calling, right? So the first thing, oh, it's my mother, hey, Mom. So here's a couple of things I want you to do. I didn't put this on the board because I want you to write this down and I want you to focus in. This is going to bless you tremendously. This is why you came to the class. I'm telling you, for this reason. For this reason. Here you go. You ready? All right. Here's what I want you to do. If you're in a season of discernment and you can't figure out which direction to go in, if you've got a fork in the road and you're just trying to decide this or decide that, or you're confused about something, you know how to figure out your calling? What you need to do is you need to pray for what you want. That sounds weird. But get with me. Get with me. A lot of times when it comes to our calling and our vocation, what we're trying to do, we're confused about it. So we're asking God to bless us in some way, and God's going, I don't even know what you want. You didn't tell me. I really don't know what you want. Because we pray like this, Lord, if it be your will, open this door or close this door or present this opportunity or close this opportunity down. And God's like, okay, so what do you really want? What do you want me to, I don't know what you want from me. I mean, we're parents, right? Many of us have children. If our kids, if we say to our kids, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, I don't know. You know, maybe this or maybe that. You know, they you know, and then we give them something. They're like, I didn't want that, you know. So here's what I want you to do. Have you done this before? Have you specifically prayed for what you want? And you're probably going, well, I don't know what I want. Well, that's the problem. So you've really got to figure out what you want. And then the scripture says, present your request before the Lord, right? So this one, oh, I didn't write it up there. This one really helped me. Because I'm like, why is God not blessing this situation? Why is he not opening this door and closing this door? And then I was like, did I ever ask him what I really wanted? And then it dawned on me, I don't even know what I want. That's probably why this situation is not really moving or shaking, because I don't even know myself. But then once you figure that out and use kind of our brain, then God opens up the door. Grandpa, can you tell that story of the man who was in the tree and then the water came up? Can you tell that? I love this story real quick.
No, I heard that, man. It's a little outrageous, bro. It's a man was in a flood,
mm-hmm.
and the water was rising. So and he saw a tree, so he climbed up the tree, and the limb was about to break, and the water was rising. And he prayed to God, please, God, save me. And along comes a man in a boat. He said, jump. The man said, jump. He said, I'm waiting on God. The man broke. He drowned. Excuse me, but he went to heaven and said, God, I asked you to save me. And you drowned me. He said, I sent the man in the boat. So a lot of times, God wants you to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything you can do.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask God, don't let me have an accident on the freeway. Well, then you stop speeding. Yeah. You stop running down the street. Yes. You slow down. Or take the cell phone and turn it off.
Right.
Don't because God's not giving to you that.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do that.
Right.
Yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Grandpa. And the point is, God has given us this big muscle up here, this big, you know, and we've got to just figure it out. And when we figure it out, or we come to a conclusion, and we present that to God, then God goes, okay, you're starting to get it. And now I can open up some doors or close doors. And sometimes the things that we pray for are wants, God says, you don't need that right now. You don't need that right now. And then he opens up another door. So that's one of those breakthrough things that I wanted to share with you that you have to do if you haven't done it, okay? Point number two is this. And this is so simple. This is Church of Christ through and through, and it's so powerful. You have to feed your mind with Scripture every day when you're in this season of discernment, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. You've got to feed your mind with Scripture every day. And the reason I say this is because I just got out of this season, really. You know, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't figure this out. And I would open up my Bible every day and just read a little bit. And it wasn't like, you know, I'm working on my D-Men, right? So it wasn't like exegetical study, right? It was like, let me just flip open the Bible and read something. And every time I opened up the Bible and read something, it gave me some insight on how to figure this situation out. Every single time. Sometimes I had to read longer. Sometimes it was shorter, right when I opened it up, right? And one of the passages that I came across, and I can't remember where it is now. I should have wrote it down. I'm such a bad preacher. It says, welcome discipline from the Lord, right? Welcome discipline for the Lord. And it said, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees.
Mm.
And when I read that passage, I said, oh, Lord, you're talking to me. Meaning, if God needed you to know something, he would let you know right now. All right? You're going to have to sweat a little bit, use your brain, and figure it out. So read your scripture every single day, and it will provide some clarity, and you'll be like, okay, I got it. And we're out of time. Here's the last one. I want you to use, and I love this. I got this from my grandpa hanging out with him this week, the power of generosity. Did you not know generosity opens up doors and opportunities that are so amazing when you're trying to discern call in your life and where you should go and where you should be, right? Because oftentimes we're thinking about our calling and we're frustrated and we're kind of thinking inward and we begin to get self-focused on what our situation is. When we start to give, God opens up opportunities. And so Grandpa the other day was wearing his Korea Vietnam hat, and he said, I went to the Burger King, and the lady in front of me said she was going to pay for my meal. And Grandpa said, no, you don't have to do that. And she was going to pay for Grandpa's meal, and then the man behind her said, no, I'm going to pay for everybody's meal, right? and everybody was being blessed by one act of generosity. And then yesterday, we were at the hotel where my grandpa was staying, and there was the hotel maid. She looked like she had been down on her luck and having a hard time. So that meal, that the cost of the meal, Grandpa took that money out and put it on the dresser, so when the maid came in, she saw the money, and then she was so thrilled, and then told her coworker, oh, he was so nice to me, and it put a smile on her face, right? So God opens up things in your life when you're just generous, right? And those are one of those tools that can help us with calling. If we're struggling right now, do something kind, right? And just see what happens. God opens up things. I think that's the design. That's the way it's supposed to be. So, that's all I have. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Yeah, Matt.
I do wonder if, I love your slide on the fearful and people I don't like, mm-hmm. and all that. I wonder if we don't, first of all, we don't talk about calling off a lot, but when we do, it seems like we only want to hear from people who are really excited and really happy. Exactly. And there was a young lady at Gulf Coast Getaway this past year who said, she was going on kind of church in the Northwest, and she said, I am very afraid, but I'm very sure.
Mm.
And I was like, that's,
yeah,
that's so honest.
Yeah, yeah.
We can work with that. Yeah, that's inspiring.
Yeah, and I think it hits that those items that we put out there. If you feel that, right, that might be it. thanks.
That's a good slide.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you guys for coming so much. I really, really appreciate it. Be blessed. Say a prayer for your next lecturer, because
okay.
We all need it, right? We're doing a difficult task. So go in peace. Be generous. Do all the stuff that we talked about. It's homework. It'd be great. It'll bless your life. Thank you so much.